Today, we talk all about masculine and feminine. What is masculine and what is feminine? What do they mean? What is our understanding of what they mean? Why does it matter? And why is the culture, and especially the church, holding so hard to traditional definitions? Gender has been turned into a false binary that has assigned roles based on gender, with, historically, very little tolerance for crossover, even though all of us have masculine and feminine in us, and both are necessary for balance. And we'll pull the rug out from under the whole thing and talk about God's gender. Maybe instead of a gender reveal, we'll call it a gender revelation.
Would it be okay if I were to tell you that I am afraid someday? So I call you up and you call me down. Would it be okay?
Well, hello and welcome to the Freed Hearts Podcast. My name is Robert Cottrell and I'm here as always with
Susan Cottrell.
Hi.
Hi.
Welcome everybody. Connect with us at freedhearts.org. And if you would do me a favor, would you please rate this? Give us 5 stars on whatever platform you're listening on. It means a lot. Thank you so much. Well, you know, we don't have pink or blue confetti cannons. Thank goodness, because I probably shoot the wrong direction. We don't have balloons or we don't have cupcakes, but we are ready for God's gender reveal.
Whoa.
Yeah. We're going to dive into perhaps an unexpected place. We're going to talk about masculine and feminine and what is feminine, what is masculine, what do they mean? And what's our understanding of what they mean? And why does it matter? And why is the culture, especially the church, holding so hard to these traditional definitions? We're going here first because these are the foundation of gender and gender roles and everything that's been built on top of that. Gender has been turned, beloved, into a false binary. And it is assigned roles in life and in every element of life based on gender, with really, historically, very little or no tolerance for crossover. Even though all of us have masculine and all of us have feminine in us. That's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And both are necessary for balance. And I don't know if you feel this or not, maybe it's just me, but we don't have balance in this country right now. We skew completely masculine in the United States. We really do. I know that the other side in this will say that we've skewed to the woke, but that's just a false, what's it called? A straw man.
Yeah.
That's a false argument to not have to discuss what's really going on. And that's we've completely skewed masculine in the United States and have since our inception, since the very beginning of this country. And that's part of the problem.
Yeah.
And then we're going to pull the rug out from under this whole thing and talk about God's gender. Yep. But it's not really a gender reveal. So we're going to call it a gender revelation.
Yeah. So we're going to start with a wonderful list from Harvard Business Review. It's called Characteristics Stereotypically Coded as Masculine and Feminine in the Workplace. And it says, stereotypically masculine characteristics are often rewarded and reinforced over feminine ones.
Yep.
You think? Yes, they are. And in the home, and in the church, and in the government. Okay. We're going to read these, and we're doing this for a reason. Rob will read the masculine, and I'll read the feminine just to make it easier to keep track of which is which. And one more little caveat. We're not saying women are this way and men are this way. We're not saying that. We believe, and I'll speak for you, Rob, too.
Yep.
We believe there's more variation among women than between women and men as groups, and more variation among men than between women and men as groups. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And these are stereotypical characteristics, and we want to talk specifically about our cultural understanding, which is why we're starting here.
Yeah, we're not saying that these are right. It's the way they are. This is how things are.
Yeah.
Or perceived, how they're perceived right now.
Right.
Yeah.
And we could talk how much about how much is nurture and how much is nature, how much is inborn, how much is conditioned into us from the moment we splash down, even about hormones, and all that could be very interesting. Mm-hmm. But that's not today. Today we want to talk about our binary understanding of what is masculine and what is feminine in our cultural understanding, and we're going to go somewhere from there, okay? Have we disclaimed this enough now?
Yeah, and it is going to be interesting.
Oh, yeah.
The others could be, but this is going to be interesting too.
Oh, this is interesting. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So, Rob, you start.
All right. So I'm going to read what is stereotypically masculine, and then Susan will read the
I'm essentially balancing.
Yeah, the
stereotypically feminine,
right, feminine of that. So.
Yep.
All right. Here we go. Self-reliant.
Nurturing.
Assertive.
Agreeable.
Competitive.
Collaborative.
Influencing.
Adjusting.
Confident.
Modest.
Analytical.
Holistic.
Absolutely brilliant.
It does. It says brilliant for him. Warm.
Decisive.
Restrained.
Independent.
Interdependent.
Individual.
Relational.
Self-promotional.
Other promotional.
Risk taker.
Patient.
Separate.
Connected.
Leader.
Follower.
Context independent.
Context dependent.
Bold.
Humble.
Oh,
okay. Now, we could talk about them individually. We're not going to do that. It's problematic, a lot of those things. Mm-hmm. But we're just talking about a holistic view historically of how we see this,
yeah,
as a culture.
And if you look at these traits together,
yeah,
it's beautiful. They balance in such beautiful harmony.
Yes. Yes. Taken the best ones, taken in their best light. I would shift a few words, but they do. They're the balance of the yin and yang, where each fills in the missing parts of the other. It's symbiotic, this masculine and feminine. We all have both, and we all need both.
Mm-hmm.
And ideally, we want to be as balanced in both as possible. And I came across a quote from Diana Cooper that says, "Out of control masculine energy without the balancing and nurturing feminine energy is dangerous. Feminine energy without the strength of the masculine is ineffective."
Mm.
That really struck me as beautiful.
Yeah.
So now we're going to talk about God. Now, when I just now said God, what picture came to mind for you? Think about it. Picture what you pictured when I just said God. I'm going to take a guess. A big black woman with a big laugh. No? Okay, I'll try again. A slight Indian who looks something like Gandhi. Wrong again? Okay, I know. The God that came to mind for you looks like Annie Lennox, androgynous and very cool. No? Okay. No, the image that comes to mind for most of us, even if we don't want it, is an old white dude with a long white beard. Think Sistine Chapel. Think the God with, you know, his hand reaching out to Adam. This is the God that reigns in our conservative church, yes, and also in the culture at large.
How convenient for the male-dominated conservative church and
yes.
culture at large.
Yes.
You know, and that God uses he, him pronouns and is overwhelmingly masculine. Just try she, her pronouns for God in your conservative churches that usually say pronouns don't matter and watch them go ballistic.
Yeah, exactly. And the Holy Spirit, which in the original Hebrew is clearly feminine, has been given masculine pronouns. So that's our three-in-one God. God the Father, a kind of another Father, and a Son. What's missing here? What's missing? The Mother is missing. This church that is consumed with the so-called nuclear family of a father and mother and children, and no other configuration works, have embodied this myth of an entirely masculine God. It's basically two gay dads and their son. And the only
that's
mother...
That's not going to fly.
No. And the only mother involved was a surrogate. Yeah.
Wow.
So instead of Virgin Mary, we'll call her Surrogate Mary. Now, if you think we're being blasphemous, no.
No.
We are calling out the blasphemy of this all-male God, this fiction of all-male all the time. It's not even biblical for those keeping score at home. And even though we can read God that way in the Old Testament, we'll talk about how we read the Bible we've inherited in a later episode. Jesus speaks clearly in the New Testament that this God of vindictive punishment out to smite everybody is not God, that the religious leaders missed it. Jesus is abundantly clear on this. He tells the religious leaders, the most learned, scholarly, religious leaders of the day, that they are way off. And of course, as many as have well observed, if you don't see the feminine in God, then you don't see God in the feminine. If I can't see myself in God, then I can't see God in myself. If I am not in God, then God is not in me. I was created in the image of God. But if God has no feminine, then that disconnects me and women, other women, and those who identify as women. This viewpoint tells me I'm missing from God. No wonder those feminine traits of mine are missing from God. You see how this works? No wonder my feminine side and Rob's feminine side are belittled in the conservative church view of God.
Yeah. Last week.
The tendrils just go on and on.
Well, last week, this is one of the core teachings of contempt.
Yes, it is.
Us, male, them, female.
Yes.
Us versus them.
Yes.
You know, so, and it was never meant to be that way. I mean,
no.
The original language in Genesis uses male and female pronouns for God and female pronouns for the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
So don't look at us here. We're not the ones bending scripture to justify a male-dominated, patriarchal, et cetera, father rule system. Beloved, we're just pointing out what's there.
That's right.
Again, we're taking a look at this and going, you know, that does sound absurd. We need to look at this. We need to talk and ask some questions.
Yeah, and a shout out to the many churches that do talk about the Father, Mother, God. Yes, and there are a lot of them. And it's necessary because language matters. Language creates reality. It does not just reflect it, but how we, it's how we think. It's what we create.
Yeah.
And, you know, in the beginning was the Word, and God spoke everything into existence, right? Words represent ideas, and they matter.
Yeah, and it's no wonder that we're so afraid of God with his fire and brimstone, you know, persona. And we are afraid of God.
Yeah.
We are afraid of God.
Yes.
And we're going to talk more about that on this journey, too.
Yeah. So let's get back to this missing mother. What happens when the mother God is missing? All those feminine traits, those yin traits, are missing, and you're left with all the masculine traits that are way out of balance and way out of control. And that's the God we live with in this country and in the world, really. We are conditioned, thanks to all the missionaries, we are conditioned to an all-male God. It's implicit and explicit.
Well, yeah.
And in this God we've inherited.
Back up for a second there. It actually runs beyond the Christian religion, too. If you look at some other religions,
yes.
It's very male dominated.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. That's exactly right. Yeah. And what happens when a God is effeminated? That sounds like effeminate, which means having the characteristics of a woman, which is also an insult. Defeminate. How about that? Yeah. Defeminated. There's not equivalent word for emasculate, is there?
That's interesting.
Yeah. If you take away God's masculine qualities, you could start a war. But you take away God's feminine qualities, who cares? Just makes him more of a bro. Okay, I'm amusing myself here now. But for those who want...
You're amusing me too.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, funny.
Hopefully some of you listening. But for those who want Bible references as proof, I'll tell you what the Bible says. It describes God as a nesting mother, as a mother eagle, as a comforting mother,
wow,
a nursing mother. as a mother hen who will take you under her wing to comfort you and protect you, as a mother bear robbed of her cubs to defend you.
Wow.
Multiple times it describes God as a mother in labor, as the mother who has carried you in her womb, as a mother whose womb is in pain, as a mother baking bread, a woman sweeping her house for the lost coin, which is you and me. And El Shaddai means the one with many breasts. Wow. A place for all of us. But most of us don't know these verses. And if we do, we think of them as sort of a footnote to an otherwise completely masculine God.
Mm.
But that was never the intention of the original.
Mm.
Oh, and all those verses about wisdom in Proverbs and elsewhere are all spirit, and they're all in the feminine. Wisdom is in the feminine. Sophia, wisdom, in the feminine. And I think today we're trying to balance, to bring a balance to the overwhelming masculine God we live with in churches and in culture. And we're ready to flow in the feminine mother of God. Don't you think of mother God? Don't you think that?
Yeah.
Don't you think that's where we're headed?
Well, that, as you read those examples from scripture, I just, they're so calming and so soothing and so satisfying.
Yes.
And so reassuring. There's no terror or fear.
Yes.
Or dread in that.
Yes.
And that's what we're ready to flow with here.
Yes, exactly. It's not, you know, it puts aside all the competition and the striving and just lets us be.
Yeah.
And I want to tell you, I had a mother only 9 years before she died. Mm. And I grew up with a missing mother. And I don't think it's pretty. And there's a difference in a household with a mother and without a mother. You know, who do you think rubbed my head when I was quite little and I had the flu? Mother. Who do you think made fudge at Christmas and let me stand on the stool and lick the spoon? It was my mother. Who do you think I was afraid of for all the yelling and the violence? That would be my father.
Now, I need to say that I know we have a lot of dads listening to this.
Yes.
And we're not talking about you, Dad. We're talking about the image, the masculine image that has been portrayed, really, that tells you how you're supposed to be.
Yes.
Bro.
Yes.
You know, be a man. Man up.
That shoves down, you know, that nurturing, tender part of you.
Yeah, that says be all that whole list that I read and shove down all those things that Susan read.
Yes.
So,
yes,
yeah,
exactly.
That's what we're talking about.
Yeah. And we resonate with you caught on the horns of this dilemma as much as the feminine, those who identify as women.
Yeah, and we can find those traits in either gender, of course.
Yeah, of course.
Like you said.
Yeah.
And the masculine and the feminine traits, so-called, are meant to be balanced. To be balanced in each of us.
Yes, exactly. And when your God is masculine, it has an acid rain effect, making toxic all the systems founded in God's name. So they're really masculine. And they are our courts, our governments, our schools, our businesses, our capitalism, all of it flow from a hierarchy of power.
Male power.
Yes. Patriarchy, father rule is what that means.
Mm-hmm.
And where you line up in your spot under those who are in authority over you, and you've got Father in heaven looking down on you, that's the image, and you have your higher ups looking down on you, literally looking down on you, and you can feel the oppression.
Mm.
These conservative churches are part of this father rule system. I actually heard from a church, I don't know, years ago saying, the trouble with our church is we've let it become too feminine. Okay. I don't think that's where the trouble is. But, you know, that's why we are such a threat.
Yeah, that's why you
our
are such
community
a threat, beloved.
Here.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Because we don't agree with that binary system. We don't want to be ruled by this church father, this government father with a missing mother. So we get the rules, you know, without the relationship? No. The feminine has been overpowered by the masculine for a long time now. And we're saying no. And they don't like it. And I think personally that's so much of the gender bending that's happening with so many trans people, so many gender non-binary people, so much androgyny. I think that is the world seeking to balance out these polarized extremes of masculine and feminine, to pull back on the runaway masculine that has predominated and bring back the feminine whose time has come.
And to allow the feminine to reveal itself, like in a transgender person.
Yes.
Being empowered to let the feminine reveal what you've known was always there.
Yes. Yes. And I think spirit, she is at work to make this happen. I do believe that. And if you're anywhere on the LGBTQ spectrum or love somebody who is, you may have been told that you're against God's plan. You're out of God's will. You're not God's best. Fill in the blank. Yeah. With whatever words mean, you are the problem.
But we think, beloved, that you're the solution.
Absolutely.
That God has placed you here to help break down this patriarchal paradigm. And that's what we're all doing.
Yes. And one more little piece. Mm-hmm. This is fascinating. Do you remember in Genesis when it says that a woman is helper to the man, or a helpmeet, whatever that quite means? How does that feel to you? Thanks a lot. He can do his own laundry. I didn't come here for this. Yeah, that's how it feels. But here's the thing. There are two kinds of helper in every language. Two kinds of helper. There's someone who does the jobs that the person they're serving doesn't want to do. These are the household servants who generally aren't treated great, aren't well esteemed or well taken care of. They're the underling who is lowlier than the one they're serving. And then there's another helper, the one you reach up to for guidance or wisdom to help you do better what you couldn't do so well on your own. And the Hebrew word for this kind of helper is used throughout the Bible to describe the way God helped Israel. This is pretty big stuff. Wow. So, which word do you think was used in Genesis for the woman as the helper? It's the second.
The one you look up to.
Yeah, the way God helped Israel. It was indispensable to Israel's survival in their captivity and their oppression, their enslavement. That's the kind of helper women are described as in Genesis. We are indispensable to the running of the world, to the success of the masculine. Did your church teach you that? No. I'm guessing not.
Yeah.
Because they don't teach it generally, because it messes with their patriarchal system. Yeah.
That teaching would be a real, genuine, legitimate threat to this patriarchal system.
Yes.
Again, name the institution of the church, of business, of the government, of the home.
Right.
And they just will have none of it.
Yes.
Well.
Yeah.
We will have
none of them.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, we've lost so much with the defeminization of God.
Yes.
And it's really more than we can say in this episode.
Yeah.
Women, LGBTQ plus people, people of color, independent thinkers, whistleblowers, all of these threaten this system.
Yeah.
And they are so vilified.
Yeah.
But you are not the problem, beloved. You are the solution. The outlier has always been the solution.
Yes, indeed.
Now, we've got a lot more to say in this journey of deconstruction. Like we said, buckle up, stay with us. We talk more about gender next week and how the differences in gender play out in real life. This is going to be a beautiful journey together that will free your heart. You're going to fall in love with Mother God, with others, and with yourself in ways you could never imagine. We love you. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
Would it be okay if I were to tell you that I am afraid someday? So I call you up and you call me down. Would it be okay?
You've been listening to the Freed Hearts Podcast. We have extensive resources and vibrant, inclusive community for you at freedhearts.org. Please just come say hello. If you have questions, comments, or suggestions for the podcast, just email us at podcast@freedhearts.org. Audio engineering is provided by Luke Johnson. The music is provided by Hannah Cottrell, our daughter, the Grammy-nominated Saint Sinner. You can find out more about her and her music at heysaintsinner.com. Please share, subscribe, and follow on your favorite platform, and support us if you can. Thanks for listening.